actually know what he is doing for many hours of each day. I try to keep myself from checking his pockets, his cell phone, and his email, and from asking him for details of his day when I know the reason I am doing this is to make sure he is not having an affair. If his eyes follow a pretty woman, or he's nice to a waitress, I am flooded with doubts and ask myself stupid questions like, does he actually know her, and why is he being so pleasant? I am driving myself and him nuts. Scrupulous thoughts. These involve judgments about yourself or others in action, intention, or character. This category includes both religious and non-religious preoccupation with your thoughts about right and wrong, and judging your or someone else's attempts to be totally pure, good, kind, fair, and giving. My younger sister just got engaged. I tell her I'm happy for her and say all the right things, but secretly, I'm really jealous of her and can't help thinking I should be the first one to get engaged. I am such a bad person. I want to be generous, but these jealous thoughts won't go away. When I say my prayers, I feel as if I'm just saying them automatically. And I think I do not have a feeling of worship, just the words. I have such privilege, and I know I'm not doing enough for poor people. I give to charities and at church, but I can never tell how much to give. I think I'm never giving enough. I know I'm not Mother Teresa, but I'm always thinking that I'm selfish if I buy something I don't need and that I should just give away all my money. I always feel guilty if I overeat. Someone else is starving, and I'm getting second helpings. It makes it hard to enjoy anything. Sexual orientation and sexual identity thoughts. These types of intrusive thoughts center around the fear that you might possibly be living a life that is different from your true sexual identity or orientation. Your thoughts are not like those of people who are truly trying to explore their sexuality. They are filled with terror, not curiosity, alongside an urgent need to know and to know for sure. Perhaps you are upset by your thoughts, even if you believe that it is okay to be straight or gay. But that does nothing to calm your fears. You are bewildered by these thoughts because they just don't fit with what you know about yourself. These thoughts preoccupy you. What if I'm really gay? Often this begins with a sudden whoosh of an upsetting thought that seems contrary to what you have always assumed about yourself. I'm having a terrible time thinking that I'm attracted to my roommate. He's straight. I thought I was too. I have a girlfriend I love. But I feel like I just am going to ruin our friendship by confessing I am having these feelings. And then he will never be comfortable with me again. I keep testing myself to see if I really am attracted to him. I even tried to look at gay porn to see if I liked it, but that did not settle anything for me. That made it even worse. I can't get this out of my mind. I married my boyfriend, and he's my best friend. But last year, I suddenly started having thoughts that I didn't love him, which were all-consuming and anxiety-provoking. Then, during an anxious time, the thought that maybe I'm a lesbian popped in my head, and that has been the most distressing. I was able to get rid of it for short periods of time, but now it stuck. It's not that I think being a lesbian is wrong or bad. What if I'm really straight? These thoughts are not part of a natural process of self-discovery. They feel different from regular thoughts. I'm gay. I have been with the same boyfriend for 13 years, and sometimes he just turns me off. People say this is normal, but then I wonder if maybe all these years I have just been fooling myself that I am gay because I am too much of a loser to try to date women. Then I start thinking, what if I'm attracted to this woman? And how could I do that to Steve? I mean, I do like women. Then I'm plagued by doubts, and I start testing myself. I even watched some straight porn to see if I got aroused and who I watched more, the man or the woman. What a waste of time. But I keep worrying about it. Why is this suddenly an issue after all these years? What if I'm transgender? Transgender people have always sensed their gender identities and birth bodies do not match. but an intrusive thought about gender identity can happen to anyone. I have been reading all these articles about trans people. Now I've had this repeated feeling that my breasts are bothering me because they're too big. Then I had this frightening thought that if I don't want breasts, I could be a boy trapped in a girl's body, and that I was really meant to be a boy. I did some more internet research, and I'm worried this could be me. I can't stop thinking about this, no matter how hard I keep telling myself it is silly. But why would I be thinking this? Intrusive visual images. We can think in two different ways. One type of thinking is in the form of words, sort of talking to yourself inside your head. Another way is to have images or pictures in your mind. Although many intrusive thoughts are experienced as disturbing self-talk, there are a number that are almost exclusively visual images. You may have noticed this yourself. Here are some of the most common kinds of intrusive visual images. Intrusive images can be static pictures or short videos. They may incorporate actual memories or be completely made up. Crazy or humiliating actions. Many people think they are hallucinating when they have a visual image of themselves doing something crazy or humiliating in a social setting, but they are not. These visual images often happen during socially anxious situations, and they are simply imaginative products of stuck thoughts translated into images instead of words. I keep having an image of myself vomiting all over myself and other people, you know, like President Bush, whenever I'm at a formal event. Whenever I'm being interviewed and whenever I'm at a party, I imagine myself freezing or yelling out something that makes no sense, and people will say, "What is wrong with that woman? She's a crazy lady." I don't go to parties because I see myself blanking out and not being able to talk or control myself when people ask me questions. Sometimes when I meet someone new, I will actually see a little movie of myself poking my finger into that person's eye, or suddenly leaping across the room to strangle him or her. And this is even crazier. Sometimes I see a dagger hanging in the air in front of me, kind of tempting me to take it. Illness, dying, and death scenes. These disturbing pictures can intrude at any time, when you are relaxed, having fun, driving, or anxious about something else. Sometimes I have a sudden picture of myself bleeding to death from Ebola, and the more I try not to look, the more gruesome the image. I get sick to my stomach. For no reason, I have a picture of myself dead in a coffin, except somehow I know I'm not really dead, and I'm trying to yell to the people at my funeral to get me out. Sometimes, as I'm driving over the bridge, I see myself careening over the side and falling toward the water. It is so vivid that I wonder if it is an omen. Traumatic memories. Traumatic images and memory intrusions often happen when someone has PTSD, but they can also happen to someone with a sticky mind who is upset by a thought, a memory, or even an imagined image. These may be a sudden re-experiencing, as if the traumatic events are happening again in the present, usually called flashbacks, accompanied by fear or whatever emotion happened at the time. Or they may simply be vivid, fixed visual memories of real things that happened or were imagined at the time of the traumatic experience. I keep seeing the car coming at me, over and over. The face of the man who raped me keeps coming into my mind, and I freeze. I can be anywhere, and suddenly I see myself dropping to the ground when the soldiers came to my door. I saw the news reports about the plane crash, and now I see a horrible scene in the plane as it is falling out of the sky. Everyone is screaming and crying. I know I wasn't there, but I can't stop seeing it. While flashbacks and traumatic memories are indeed just thoughts and images and are therefore not dangerous in and of themselves, they may be stored in the brain in a different way because of the high impact of the original experience. If there is actually PTSD and not just a sticky mind, there are additional treatment methods not in this book that may be helpful. It may be worth consulting a trauma specialist. for help with other PTSD symptoms that often go along with flashbacks and difficult memories. Worry. Everyone knows about worry. There is no one who has never experienced the anxiety of an intense worry jag. So, even though worry is universal to human beings, we include worry as one type of unwanted intrusive thought because there are really two types of worry: productive worry and toxic worry. Productive worry is a form of planning. It starts with a problem and comes up with an answer to that problem and an action plan to follow. Plus, and this is important, the solution and action plan then stop the worrying. So, as a very simple example, let's suppose you are driving in your car, look down, and realize that your gas tank is very low. You might worry about running out of gas, but then you come up with the solution in the form of, "I'm going to fill up at the gas station down the road." That action plan seems to solve your problem and stops your worrying. Toxic worry, on the other hand, involves trying to solve an issue where the outcome is uncertain or unknowable, and there is no good answer to form an action plan. So you start to solve the problem once and can't seem to come up with any good answer. So the worry returns, and then the entire process continues to repeat. It becomes stuck. Toxic worry starts with a what if and continues in an endless loop of unsatisfactory solutions. Attempts to solve the problem in order to reassure yourself fail. Toxic worry can be about ordinary things like friendships, money, and scheduling, or it can be about highly unlikely things like rare illnesses and catastrophic events. What defines toxic worry is not what the worrying is about, but how the worries behave. They get stuck, repeat, escalate, and preoccupy. They don't subside and take a back seat when no solution can be found. So you are trying to engage in mental problem solving, but all you come up with are other possible negative outcomes. In other words, no matter what false comfort might say to worried voice, no matter how sensible or reassuring or distracting, worried voice has something else to come back with that keeps the what-if questions coming. There are three types of toxic worry: single topic, multi-topic, and meta-worry, worry about worry. Helpful fact: toxic worry is not defined by the worry topic, but by how the worry thoughts behave. Single topic worrying. Sometimes you can worry about just one thing, going over all the different possibilities and possible outcomes related to that single topic. I worry about my children every day. When I drop them off at the bus, I worry that they will get into an accident on the school bus. When I hear them cough, I worry that they might have asthma or pneumonia. I'm afraid they might get sick from their inoculations. I don't let them play sports after school because I worry they might get injured. I worry that dental x-rays will hurt them. Multi-topic worrying. Worry can also be expansive and often spreads creatively from one topic to another. Right now, I'm worried that a mole on my arm is melanoma, and I'm worried about the biopsy results. But then I'm ready to worry about my husband because his PSA, prostate-specific antigen, levels might be going up, and I don't know how I can survive without him. And my daughter is 15 and a half and about to get her learner's permit. I'm terrified of her being on the road by herself. I worry that all this stress is destroying my immune system. How will my children survive without me? The world has become such a dangerous place. I'm afraid to go in a shopping mall now that terrorists have threatened us. I can get most things online, but I'm still worried for my friends who don't watch the news. More and more things worry me, like toxins. How far is this going to go? I could not sleep last night because I think I may have upset my friend with what I said. But she will never tell me, even if I ask, because she's too polite. Do you think she's angry at me? Now I'm worried about other people I might have offended. It is so easy to offend and not realize it. I haven't heard from another friend for weeks. I wonder if I offended her too. I have to take a test next week. And I'm worried that I won't be able to concentrate, that I will fail the test, and that will make me do poorly in this course, which will affect my ability to get into law school. I have to get into law school. The more I think about it, the more I feel like my whole future is on the line if I don't ace this test. And that makes me worry even more. Now I can't concentrate, and my whole life can go down the tubes. If you get involved in multiple thought toxic worry, your thoughts often involve a chain of catastrophic or negative possibilities that seem to force themselves into your awareness. Most people feel that they are uncontrollable. Meta-worry, worry about worry. Here, you worry that your worrying will damage your health, indicate that you are an undesirable person, or point to some other negative aspect of yourself. I read in a magazine that worrying is stress on the immune system, and stress can contribute to diabetes and heart disease. I do everything I can to control my worrying, because I know it can make me sick. My friends all tell me that I am shortening my life with all my worrying. I already do Pilates, and I even drink green tea and pomegranate juice, but they aren't helping. Maybe I should quit my job? It's so stressful. I'm sick of worrying all the time. I'm such a downer, and I know I've lost friends and boyfriends because of my worrying. People don't want to be with someone like me, and I can't blame them. I always see something that could go wrong, and I need to make sure everything is just right. I have no joy in my life, and I suck it from everyone around me. When I can't control my thoughts, I feel like I'm going crazy, and I worry about how long I can hold on to my sanity. My cousin has schizophrenia, and they say he started to act strange while he was in college, and it was downhill from there. When I lie down to sleep, I can't stop the thoughts. I review everything I did that day and look for my mistakes. Or I am planning for tomorrow. Or I have to get up to urinate. Or at least I think I do. And I watch the clock. Then I start thinking, oh no, I only have 3 or 4 hours left to sleep. And I have to sleep. If I can't sleep, I will not be able to work tomorrow. Then more clock watching and worrying about sleeping tomorrow night. Not entirely unwanted intrusive thoughts. Sometimes we find ourselves with uninvited thoughts or imagined scenes that are embarrassing or upsetting, but they seem to help our mind deal with something bothersome or painful about which there is really nothing to do. They may serve as a diversion in a trapped situation or as a fantasy that makes us feel less helpless. They may be a preoccupation that keeps us from needed concentration, but the content was at least originally invited in. Revenge. Here is an example of invited thoughts that turn uninvited and intrusive when they are judged dangerous or wrong. Every time my boss stands in my doorway, I start thinking I'm going to blast him for what he said to me last week. I never would, of course, but yesterday I started imagining letting the air out of his tires in the parking lot. And then I started asking myself if I would ever lose control and do it. Bereavement. It is not the images and thoughts of someone who died that are necessarily uninvited. But if you are trying to get over it and move on, or if you are worried that you are grieving in an unhealthy way, a struggle ensues. When I lie down at night, I see my mother's face as I remember her before she was sick, and I can't fall asleep. I am so sad. I look at photographs during the day. I hear her voice talking to me at the oddest times. I think about her constantly. Love sickness. Falling in love can be totally obsessive at any age. Feeling unable to keep the thoughts in check can be difficult, especially if people around you notice. You can feel like you are losing perspective and becoming out of control. I am completely obsessed with him. I can't concentrate. I want to know where he is and what he's doing every moment. Everything is dull and boring unless he is by my side. We text all day long. I can't get anything done. This is over the top. I'm going to lose my job if I don't stop thinking about him. Resentment. Sometimes we entertain thoughts we wish we did not, and we enjoy them and try to push them away at the same time. My friend inherited a lot of money, and she's naturally thin and can eat whatever she wants. The other day she got reprimanded at work, and I have to admit I had the thought, finally, something is not easy for her. I'm ashamed of myself for thinking this. Not entirely unwanted intrusive thoughts are only a problem if you start struggling with them, if you worry about them and what they mean, or if you judge them as sick or bad. They pass when the emotion that is driving them, anger, grief, early romance, resentment, subsides over time. They are not indications of character or impulses to be resisted. They are your rich imagination at work. No one is free of not entirely unwanted intrusive thoughts. It is only the struggle against them that is problematic. Personal loss, failure, or mistake. There are a number of unwanted intrusive thoughts that center around the theme of past or future mistakes. Your thoughts may be experienced as irrational and overblown, but even so, there is the sense that you, in fact, have committed a terrible mistake that might never be undone. This makes you very anxious. You may have something specific in mind, or it may just be a sense that something important slipped your awareness or memory. When I was working as an attorney, I worked on a case that got a lot of press, and we won the case. But now I keep thinking that I never shared a minor detail with the other side. And even though it was almost 20 years ago, I keep having the thought that if someone found out about this, my reputation could be ruined. I have asked my partner how important this is, and she says that it's trivial and to stop worrying about it. But it comes to me at all hours of the day and night. I keep coming back to the thought that I should never have broken up with that boyfriend. Even though he treated me terribly, the relationship seemed doomed and I was miserable. At least I thought it seemed doomed. But I keep wondering if things could have somehow turned around. I keep trying to remember the moment when I messed it up. As soon as I submit a paper for publication, I have the thought that my statistical analysis was wrong, or I left out a vital piece of data. Or there is something unethical in the research, and I worry about this ruining my career. It keeps me awake at night. Is it right to make amends for something you aren't sure about? I think I stole $10 from a friend in middle school. Although to tell you the truth, I'm not sure if I did or if I made it up. It was 34 years ago, but maybe I should apologize or send her the money in case it is true. I try to tell myself it is not important, but the thought keeps coming back, so it must need resolution, right? If I hadn't lost that money, I could take care of my family better. I am so worried that I won't be able to afford retirement. I push the thoughts away, but it remains the monster in the room. I lost the girl of my dreams. I can't believe that I let her go, and now I'll never find love. I was so stupid, and now it's too late to get her back. I can't stop thinking about this. It makes me so sad. Somatosensory intrusions. Some people have intrusive sensations instead of thoughts, but they act the very same way as unwanted thoughts and images. Psychologists sometimes view these sensory intrusions as a form of hyper-awareness OCD. You feel a desire or a need to resist thoughts and observations about sensations. There are some self-help books on obsessive-compulsive disorder that address this issue as well. I have a feeling that I am producing too much saliva. I keep swallowing and swallowing. I check to see if there's more, and there always is. I can't stop, and it's driving me nuts. Now it feels like I have a lump in my throat, too. I am tortured by my underwear. I can't get any to fit right. When I lie in bed trying to sleep, I feel like I have to pee, even if I just did a few minutes ago. Then I think I won't be able to sleep unless I go again. This can go on for hours and hours. A friend pointed out to me that she could see the side of her nose if she looked down. Now I can't stop seeing my nose. It feels like it is obstructing my vision, and I hate it. Does anyone else have this? When I lie down at night, I can hear my heartbeat in my ear. I can't relax. I can't stop counting and listening and worrying about it. I have started getting up over and over to check my blood pressure and pulse. What is wrong with me? Worried voice. What is wrong with me that I keep hearing my pulse in my ear? It is so annoying and irritating, and I can't get rid of the idea that it means I have some heart problem. False comfort. Don't worry about your heart. You went to the doctor 2 months ago. Don't think about it. Focus on some other sound, like the sound of the refrigerator in the kitchen. Worried voice. But I can't. I try that, and then I think, what is wrong with me that I can't even distract myself? I figure that either I have something wrong with my heart, or else I get worried that this will never stop, that it might go on forever. False comfort. Just stop those negative thoughts. I know you can do that. Maybe if you sing a song to yourself or keep the TV on, it will drown out the sound of your heartbeat. Worried voice. I tried it, and it doesn't work. I keep checking in my mind to see if I can hear my pulse, and then think that I should really check my blood pressure. But I know this is crazy, and so I think what a weird person I am to have this messed up sort of problem. What kind of person has a problem like this? Wise mind. Believe it or not, your ongoing back and forth discussion is what keeps you stuck on the sounds. Leave them alone. Allow them to be. And checking your pulse and blood pressure keeps you focused on frightening thoughts. Just because you have a thought doesn't make it a fact. I suggest that you don't distract yourself. And remember that it's not the sound itself, but the way you react to the sound that makes it feel so irritating and dangerous. Worried voice. How will allowing it to be there possibly help? Wise mind. Give it a try. Clearly, your way is not working. Helpful fact. Most of your distress is caused not by what you think or feel, but how you feel about and react to what you think or feel. You have now read about a wide range of unwanted intrusive thoughts. We have provided you with some very specific and explicit examples, and it is not uncommon for readers to experience a spike in anxiety. But be assured that the upset is temporary, and you will find it a small price to pay for the benefits of knowing that you are not alone, as well as having the opportunity to find your own specific type or types of unwanted intrusive thoughts. Seeing these on the written page will give you some initial relief, no matter what kind of thoughts have become stuck and repetitive in your mind. And the fact that people with intrusive thoughts like yours have recovered and live normal lives proves that your situation is not as serious, crazy, or hopeless as it may currently feel. In the next chapter, we will address the myths that need debunking about both thoughts in general and about unwanted intrusive thoughts specifically. Chapter 3. What thoughts mean, myths, and facts. There are 9 myths about thoughts in general that contribute to intrusive thoughts becoming stuck. Busting these myths with facts will go a long way toward helping you change your attitude about your mind. We all have beliefs about thoughts and what they say about us. Many of us believe that what runs through our minds tells a story about the person we are underneath. Some of our ideas about our thoughts might be correct, but we now understand that a lot of common beliefs are false, and these false beliefs can cause a great deal of unhappiness. Every day, researchers learn more about thinking and what the content of your thoughts say about the sort of person you are. The newest information contradicts some long-held ideas about what thoughts mean and what kinds of thoughts are normal. This chapter debunks the 9 major myths about thoughts that contribute to unwanted intrusive thoughts. Since each myth contributes to the tendency to be stuck on unwanted intrusive thoughts, it makes sense for you to consider each one and think about how much you hold on to each myth. There is conclusive evidence from psychological research that each one is false. Helpful fact. Busting myths with facts about thoughts will make intrusive thoughts less sticky. Myth 1. Our thoughts are under our control. Many people falsely believe that our thoughts are under our conscious control, and so we should be able to control our thoughts. Fact. The fact is that many of our thoughts, and some researchers believe that most of our thoughts, are not under conscious control. There are times when we welcome this fact. An insight or an inspiration can help solve a problem. Ask a poet or songwriter how she finds lyrics, and she might say it just comes to her. Sometimes a thought just pops up, like a mental tick or a hiccup. Ask anyone who practices meditation. We aren't in control of it, and we aren't responsible for it. Thoughts just happen. They wander. They jump around. They don't take orders. Occasionally, it hits you in the face that you can't control your thoughts. Everyone has a wandering mind when listening to boring talks. A noisy room can interrupt your train of thoughts. And when was the last time you thought about an argument at home when speaking to someone at work? How often do you tell yourself to think confident thoughts, only to be aware of self-criticism and worries creeping in? Just because you can think some thoughts on purpose doesn't mean that you are in control of them. You can't make your thoughts go away at will. You can focus your attention on certain thoughts, but that doesn't mean you have the capacity to make them go away. Worried voice. I wish I could control my thoughts, especially when I get a bad thought. I think I'm sick. False comfort. What you need is some mental discipline. Try harder. Worried voice. I'm trying, but I can't seem to do it. I think I'm broken. Wise mind. Everyone's mind goes everywhere. It could be interesting to watch. I have no need to stop any of it. Nor do you. Thoughts are just thoughts, and they just happen. Worried voice and false comfort both believe in the myth that control of thoughts, especially disturbing thoughts, is not only possible, but necessary for mental health. They are quite wrong. Wise mind knows better. Belief in the myth that you are in control of your thoughts leads to the common but unhelpful suggestion that you can replace negative thoughts with positive ones, and that this will help you control what you think. The facts indicate that you can deliberately think positive thoughts and distract your attention temporarily from unwanted thoughts to chosen ones. But the thoughts you are trying to replace tend to persist and usually return even more forcefully to your attention. How many times have you tried to push a thought away only to have it pop right back up? Myth 2. Our thoughts indicate our character. Another thought myth is that thoughts speak to our character or underlying intentions, and that some people have an underlying dark side that is revealed only in their thoughts. Fact. We know that thoughts have nothing to do with character. Character is a reflection of how you lead your life. It relates to what you actually choose to do or choose not to do. Thoughts are what pass through your mind. When thoughts just happen, it is not your choice. There is no place for issues of character when there is no chance for choice. A thought is not a fact or a statement about yourself. Character is about the choices you make in life, not what pops into your mind. This myth is often illustrated by elaborate metaphors in popular culture. Most frightening are examples of apparently perfectly nice people being taken over by their dark side, whether it be the metaphor of werewolves, possession, Jekyll and Hyde, or some other way of innocent people turning into killers. Movies such as The Exorcist, American Psycho, and Forbidden Planet are designed to terrify people into thinking that no matter how innocent or well-intentioned you are, there might be an evil force inside of you ready to take over. These fantasies fuel the false idea that one's underlying thoughts reveal actual intentions or nature, even if disavowed, as if there can be an inner demon that can leap out against your will. Similarly, movies and books about the breakdown of society, such as Lord of the Flies, Mad Max, and other post-apocalyptic nightmares, suggest that our survival instincts can turn us into moral monsters. They all imply that we are precariously civilized. Taking this one step further implies that uncivilized thoughts are the tip of the iceberg, and that one's true nature or character may not be what it seems. Interestingly, often people apply this myth only to themselves and their own thoughts. If a friend relates a wild, repugnant, or nonsensical thought, you are quick to reassure him that minds are capricious, and that these thoughts are not meaningful, and that you have not lost respect for him. It's easy to joke about someone else's intrusive thoughts. Worried voice. I'm always coming up with perverted thoughts, even about children. I must be a bad person deep down. It happens all the time. False comfort. Don't be silly. We both know you are good. Crowd out the perverted thoughts. Thinking about it can make you doubt yourself. Worried voice. I try, but it just keeps happening. I wonder if something bad happened to me that I don't remember and that it is stuck in my unconscious. They say abused people become abusers. False comfort. People can overcome their bad thoughts. You just have to stay positive. In this dialogue, both worried voice and false comfort believe that thoughts indicate character and then struggle to deal with this. They are both falling prey to this myth. Helpful fact. Thoughts have nothing to do with character. Only chosen actions do. Myth 3. Our thoughts indicate the inner self. This is the belief that thoughts are paths to our inner self, sort of like eyes being windows to the soul. This includes the belief that whatever is in our mind is a reflection of our true thoughts and feelings, no matter how we might protest that it is not so. So, intrusive thoughts must speak to some special, perhaps hidden truth about us. Fact. The fact is that everyone has passing weird, aggressive, or crazy thoughts. If every thought spoke to underlying character, then 90% of people would be weird, aggressive, or crazy. That is because about 90% of people acknowledge having intrusive thoughts that they characterize as weird, aggressive, frightening, or crazy. And think about some of the horror movies and TV shows that are so popular these days. Perhaps you are unable to watch them because they trigger too much fear. But remember, these awful, weird, aggressive, and crazy scenarios are thought up by normal, creative people. They are simply writing scripts that other people will want to watch. An implication of this myth is that weird or nonsensical thoughts might indicate loss of control over your mind or even mental illness. Or, another false implication is that if you have intrusive, repugnant thoughts, it could mean that you are a perverted or disgusting person. People with unwanted, aggressive, or violent thoughts may become fearful that they are violent or angry, despite having no awareness of these emotions, and that their true feelings are indicated by these thoughts. They may come to believe not only that they must be bad people at their core, but they may also feel an extra burden to exercise serious control over these thoughts. We all have mental activity going on outside of awareness. And it is interesting to wonder how certain mental events happen to pop up. But there is no truth to the ideas that blips of intrusive thoughts and images reveal underlying truths, and that thoughts reveal motives, feelings, and intentions that are deeply meaningful or contain messages that need to be addressed when they differ from conscious thoughts, feeling, and intentions. Myth 4. The unconscious mind can affect actions. This is the belief that our unconscious mind is a powerful force that directs our thoughts and behaviors, sometimes operating in the dark and against our conscious minds and will. So there is a possibility that unconscious forces could come leaping out against our wishes and lead us to do something impulsively angry, violent, or mean, even though we don't actually want to. Fact. Analyzing the meaning of Freudian slips and automatic associations, including the content of dreams, are popular ways of trying to understand the complex workings of the unconscious mind. But the momentary thought of dropping your baby certainly does not reveal any unconscious wish to do harm. And the sudden thought that you could jump off the balcony because the railing is low does not reveal hidden unconscious suicidal wishes. Worried voice. Every day I take the train to work, and every day I have the thought that I could push someone under the train. What does it mean about me that I have such bad thoughts? Maybe my unconscious mind will make me do it. False comfort. Tell yourself that you would never do anything violent. Don't let those thoughts take over. Distract yourself and think about something else. Pray for relief. Worried voice. I try, but I keep on having the thoughts. Here, false comfort is trying hard to reassure worried voice and offers coping skills to handle the disturbing thoughts. While coping skills might provide temporary relief, they don't work for long. Unfortunately, they both believe this myth, that such thoughts are meaningful bits of the unconscious mind and require a response. Another example of this myth is believing that thoughts of doubt are messages, signals, or warning from the wiser, more perceptive unconscious. Some of you may be plagued by doubts about a decision and then believe it means that you made a mistake, and therefore there is some important issue you need to address. This myth suggests that a doubting thought is a message from your unconscious that repeats itself because it is telling you to reconsider what you did or what you plan to do. But it is simply not true that feared thoughts are fueled by underlying wishes or are warnings that should be heeded. There is an old assumption, sometimes stated in the form, "The wish is father to the fear," suggesting that your fear of doing something terrible is caused by your desire to do it. This is a myth with nothing to support it. It only does one thing. It contributes to the fears of people with unwanted intrusive thoughts. Myth 5. Thinking something makes it likely to happen. Believing that thinking something somehow makes the thing more likely to happen, or makes it more true, is the basis of this myth. Many people don't like the idea of negative thoughts because they believe that having negative thoughts means that more negative things will happen. Some people believe that negative attracts negative and positive attracts positive. Fact. This is a complete misunderstanding of what is known about thoughts. Psychologists call this myth thought-action fusion, or magical thinking. The fact is that a thought is not a message about what is going to happen. Similarly, a thought is not a prediction or a warning of an awful action or occurrence in the future. Thoughts do not warn of plane crashes, automobile accidents, or natural disasters. Premonition is a feeling that comes with a thought. It is not an accurate reading of the future. We tend to remember the rare premonitions that come true and forget about all the many other doubts and feelings that passed without coming true. Even more importantly, your thoughts cannot make unwanted actions or events happen. Thoughts do not change probabilities in the real world. Thoughts do not move objects, nor can they hurt people. Additionally, thoughts are not aspects of your unconscious that might become uncaged and leap up and take control if you don't remain vigilant. Thinking that someone might die will not make him more likely to die. A wandering thought about what it would be like to be unfaithful to a partner does not make you seek an affair. A sudden fearful thought does not make real danger or disaster any more likely. Please don't confuse thoughts with facts. A fact can be true, or it can be false. A thought is just a thought. Thoughts are often our guesses about the world around us and the way it seems to operate. Thoughts themselves have no effect on the world. Helpful fact. Thoughts do not change probabilities in the real world. But some of you might be thinking, but if I have negative thoughts, won't I be doing more negative things? Well, to some extent that is true. Sometimes your mood and motivation can change in response to your thoughts and beliefs. Here's an example. If you believe that something is going to be very frightening, then you will approach that with more trepidation. And you might even decide to stay away from it because you aren't sure you will be able to handle the fear. And if you think that your boss is going to give you a really hard time about leaving early on Tuesday to see your son's soccer final, you might decide to call in sick that day, or maybe just forego the game. In other words, sometimes our beliefs and thoughts can influence what we choose to do. But this is very different from the false belief that thinking about something influences the chance of it occurring. Myth 6. Thinking something makes it unlikely to happen. Myth 6 is almost the exact opposite of Myth 5. Specifically, it is that thinking something will make it less likely to happen or make it less true. You may believe that thinking about a person you care for, specifically worrying about someone, is a way of protecting that person, showing love and loyalty, and keeping bad things from happening. Staying involved with worry thoughts seems like a way of remaining vigilant and somehow more prepared for danger. fact. Once again, thoughts do not change probabilities in the real world. While worrying about someone might make you feel like you are doing something to protect him or her, in reality, you are only training your brain to reinforce a cycle of ongoing worry. Remember that feelings are not facts. Feeling that you need to stay engaged by constantly thinking about someone is falling for the false alarms of anxiety. Myth 7. Only sick people have intrusive thoughts. This refers to the mistaken belief that only disturbed people have intrusive or weird thoughts. Fact. The fact is that no one is entirely free of weird, repugnant, and disturbing passing thoughts. This means that just about everyone you know, including your friends, your work colleagues, your teachers, and your doctors, have also experienced intrusive thoughts. In fact, Mother Teresa had unwanted intrusive thoughts. So, most probably, does your favorite celebrity and your pastor. The big difference is that just about everyone has passing intrusive thoughts. Your intrusive thoughts feel very different because they are repeated and sometimes become stuck. This makes them feel particularly disturbing, like they are the product of a disturbed mind. But the stickiness of these thoughts has nothing at all to do with your character or your value as a human being. And it certainly has nothing to do with being a disturbed person. The stickiness has a lot to do with how you think and feel about these thoughts and the methods and intensity you are using to try to rid yourself of them. In Chapter 5, we will show you how a passing intrusive thought, which everyone has, becomes a stuck and unwanted intrusive thought through no fault, personality defect, or mental illness of your own. Myth 8. Every thought is worth thinking. Myth 8 is that every thought is worth thinking about, so it makes sense to, and is worthwhile to, explore the content of any thought that crosses your mind or comes to your attention. Fact. The fact is that you, like cable TV, have many different channels of thought going through your mind at the same time. It is impossible to think about them all, and some of your channels are just full of junk, like maybe the infomercial channel or the local high school announcements. Not all are worthwhile to think about. Imagine that you were listening to your radio and something went wrong, so instead of listening to one station at a time, you were listening to 2, 3, 5, or 10 at once. One channel might be great music that you want to hear. Another might be an absorbing discussion. Others might be a boring repeat newscast, a song that you hate, and a story that you have heard 100 times before. Without giving it much thought, you would work to focus on the things that seemed interesting and let the other channels pass you by. Similarly, you have more than one thought channel going through your mind. Mostly, you pick and choose what to focus on without putting in very much effort. Some thoughts just seem more interesting to pursue than others. But when an intrusive thought pops up, no matter what the content, if you believe all thoughts are worth thinking about, in other words, if you believe that there are no junk channels of the mind, you might choose to focus on that one thought and grant it meaning and attention it does not deserve. Your attention may be hijacked by junk. This is especially true if you believe the intrusive thought is really important, or if you believe that you have been issued a message or a signal or a warning sign. In cases like this, you can get stuck, and the thought will keep recycling through your mind, asking for your attention. In truth, all minds are chock full of junk thoughts not worth taking seriously. If we wander into junk thoughts and they are not granted meaning, they just pass on by. Helpful fact. Your attention may be hijacked by junk. Chapter 7 explains how to remain more focused on the natural flow of your thoughts. We will show you how it is possible to care so little about intrusive thoughts that they recede into the background and do not need your attention at all. Worried voice. I'm trying to steady, and all I can think about is whether or not I should marry my boyfriend. False comfort. You have only known each other a few weeks. Don't think about that now. You have to steady. Worried voice. Yes, I know, but I feel like I should think about it because I had the thought that he will ask me. False comfort. Do you think that means he really will ask you? Worried voice. Well, sort of. I should be prepared, shouldn't I? What if he does ask me? I really need to be studying. If I do poorly on the exam tomorrow, I could lose my scholarship. False comfort. Remember what you put yourself through with the last guy? Worried voice. But this time it feels like a real issue. Wise mind. Hey, guys, you're both listening to the junk channel. Just because it popped into your mind does not mean it requires your attention. Just because someone lobs a football at you does not mean you have to catch it. Junk channels lob junk at us all the time. Myth 9. Thoughts that repeat are important. You may believe that thoughts that repeat must be important. After all, it would seem if a thought were not important, it would just fly out of our mind and be forgotten. The fact that the thought keeps recurring must mean that it is significant. Fact. The fact is that the importance of a thought has very little to do with how much it repeats. Actually, thoughts tend to repeat if they are resisted or pushed away. So if you have a repeating thought that you are resisting, that same thought will start to fade away when you stop trying to resist it. Any thought that you attempt to squish is more likely to keep repeating. Like, don't think about that itchy spot. Stop rerunning that commercial jingle through your mind. Or, stop noticing the piece of food in her teeth. Remember the theme that what you resist persists and the carrot exercise in Chapter 1? This is actually how your brain works. When we invest energy in any thought, it builds up the neural connections and makes the thought more likely to happen. This works with any thought. It has nothing to do with the importance of it. The simple fact is that your attempts to keep certain thoughts from coming into your mind is what makes them come round again and feel stuck. One example of this is what happens when you try to stop thinking when falling asleep. Everyone has the experience of watching thoughts amplify, elaborate, and repeat the harder we try to banish them and attempt to stop thinking. We have to be willing to let the mind wander and not fight with it in order to fall asleep naturally. Helpful fact. Thoughts that repeat are stuck, not important. We hope that now you have a better understanding of some of the common myths and misconceptions about the way thoughts work in people's minds. You are therefore better prepared to understand the unwanted intrusive thoughts that currently upset you, how they got stuck, and how to relate to them in a different way. They do not mean what you think they mean. There is no reason to fear them, and they won't go away by resisting them. Believing even some of these myths can be responsible for ordinary intrusive thoughts becoming stuck. Knowing the facts behind these 9 common myths will make intrusive thoughts less likely to stick. Now that we've busted the myths, in the next chapter, we will answer some of the common questions that people often ask. Chapter 4. Unwanted Intrusive Thoughts, Q&A. So far, we have talked about thoughts in general and described the varieties of unwanted intrusive thoughts. We have introduced you to the way that worried voice and false comfort struggle with each other over thoughts, and how wise mind can offer a way out of this struggle. Still, you, like most people, may have very specific questions about issues that are particularly bothersome. And you may not be able to ask these questions of others, as you are afraid or ashamed of revealing these struggles. Here are straightforward, specific answers to the questions our patients most frequently ask. Remember that anxiety loves ignorance, and the more facts you know about stuck thoughts, the better equipped you will be to deal with them. Some of these specific answers review topics that we have introduced in earlier chapters. Does thinking about hurting my children mean that deep down I harbor anger and aggression? No. This thought was probably started by the old psychoanalytic belief that fearful thoughts are related to unconscious wishes. This notion was quite popular in the 1950s and earlier, and there are plenty of references about this in traditional psychoanalytic literature. You may have heard some variation of this idea, and maybe you have grown to accept it as true. Perhaps a past therapist has implied this to you. However, it is now clear that there isn't one iota of truth to this. This idea is particularly disturbing because it has generated so much misery and guilt in people who have absolutely no reason to feel this way. Unfortunately, there are still a number of psychotherapists who believe it to be true. There are therapists who may try to focus on your wishes in order to uncover denied unconscious feelings as a way to cure your intrusive thoughts.
Worse still, some therapists erroneously believe that your thoughts are an indication that you might actually do something harmful to your children.
So you are encouraged to understand and come to terms with your thoughts, which actually makes them even stickier. Remember that sticky thoughts are the opposite of wishes. They become sticky and intrusive precisely because you reject them and fight with them. They are not pleasurable fantasies. They are not unconscious desires. They do not indicate truths about you that need to be explored. On the other hand, it is entirely normal to sometimes feel loving feelings and sometimes feel angry feelings toward your children, as well as a full range of emotions that includes guilt, resentment, frustration, and pride. This is normal and part of the emotional life of every parent. Remember that we are talking about intrusive, bizarre, unwelcome thoughts and the horrified feelings that go with them. These are fundamentally different from actions you choose to make, the normal ebb and flow of emotions, and real-life behaviors. I have unwanted intrusive thoughts of hurting or sexually abusing children. Could I be a child molester or secret pedophile? No. And let us be clear. We are not talking about people who are, in fact, very angry and have a history of acting violently or abusively when they are angry or intoxicated. We are also not talking about people who get pleasure out of imagining or having sexual contact with children. Instead, we are talking about violent and sexual thoughts that make no sense to you, that seem alien and against your nature. They feel offensive and horrific, as well as frightening. They seem to come out of nowhere and redirect your attention. You might avoid contact with children because of them, and we hope you will stop doing that. You are not dangerous, and children do not need protection from you. Remember that your anxiety is maintained and reinforced by avoidance. Why do some of my thoughts feel like impulses? Even though unwanted intrusive thoughts are signs of overcontrol and not impulsivity, you may actually feel that you have to put a lot of effort to keeping yourself from acting on the thoughts. This is an illusion. They feel like impulses even though they are not. You are actually feeling the effects of anxious thinking, which is an altered state of awareness. Once your brain sends out an anxiety alarm signal, your perception of many things becomes markedly different. One very consistent change is what psychologists call thought-action fusion, when the line between thoughts and actions becomes fuzzy and indistinct. Ordinarily, the differences between thoughts and actions are quite clear, and thoughts are a safe way to rehearse actions without consequences. But when you are anxious, this difference seems to fade away. When you fight hard to avoid a thought, anxiety will skyrocket, and so will your perception of the profound differences between private thoughts, on the one hand, and actions in the real world that have real consequences, on the other. But even if your perception has become distorted by anxiety, it does not mean that the thought is actually an impulse or has any more ability to make you do anything you do not choose to do. A more comprehensive explanation of how the brain sends out false alarms is presented in Chapter 5. But I get so scared. The fight to control myself feels so real. Why? Another reason why thoughts can feel like impulses is because of the fear the thought provokes. Here is how it works. When we are startled or surprised, or when something happens that tricks us into thinking there is danger, the alarm system part of our brain, called the amygdala, sends out a danger signal.
It instantly makes many things happen in the body that enable us to run away or fight if there were a real danger.
You may know this reaction as the fight or flight response. This happens automatically, whether the alarm is false or indicates a true danger. The amygdala is not very smart and cannot judge true danger from a false alarm. It just responds to a trigger, real or imagined, with the only thing it can do. It sends out an alarm. If we are startled by a thought, our amygdala automatically sends out such a danger signal. Then we react emotionally as if there is danger. The sensations in our body make the thought seem dangerous, impulsive, or important. We discuss this further in Chapter 5. But our brain has a second mechanism located in the higher brain or cortex that has the capacity to say, "Wait a minute, this is just a thought." The cortex is where we think, reason, and judge. The problem is that the message from the higher brain gets there about a half a second after the first automatic alarm has sounded. So you are feeling like you're in danger, even before your higher brain has the chance to step in. Our trio illustrates how this goes. Worried voice. "I just felt like I was going to jump up and shout something profane in church. It took everything I had to hold back." False comfort. "Maybe you should listen to the radio in church to keep you distracted. You sure wouldn't want to do that." Worried voice. "This is crazy. You wouldn't believe what I was about to shout. I can't even say it." False comfort. "These impulses are just horrible. Maybe you should stay home and listen to the church service on the radio. If you have to blurt something out, at least no one will know." Wise mind. "It feels like an impulse, but it is actually an unwanted intrusive thought, not an impulse. The more you fight it, the stronger it feels, right? So try to act as if it doesn't even matter, because it really doesn't." Think of worried voice as representing a false danger signal from the amygdala. False comfort falls for the trick and tries to figure out what to do about it, as if the danger is real. It is wise mind who knows it is a false alarm and that no response is needed. Why do I have to fight these thoughts all the time? Here is the really great news. You don't. That's right. Not only do you not have to fight these thoughts, but fighting the thoughts is a major reason why they become stuck and cause so much psychological misery in the first place. Remember, you try to block the thoughts because their message feels so unacceptable, and as you continue to fight, they become more persistent and more anxiety-arousing. This is the ironic process once again. What is wrong with me? What is wrong with you is that you have unwanted intrusive thoughts. Nothing more and nothing less. Psychologists know that about 9 out of 10 people experience intrusive thoughts, at least occasionally. So you are one of the 9 out of 10. What has gone wrong in your situation is that you have taken your thoughts too seriously and believe that the content of your thoughts meant something important about the person you are or the sort of behaviors that you might commit. "I try to avoid things that trigger my thoughts, but some things are unavoidable. What can I do?" You can try to avoid your avoidance. Reading about violent acts might make you have thoughts about violent actions. Or hearing a radio program about suicide may provoke unwanted images. But this is unrelated to your behavior. In fact, as we show in Chapter 8, deliberately provoking these harmless but upsetting thoughts is part of the treatment. It takes the power away from the thoughts when you no longer have to try to avoid or control them. Thoughts don't cause any type of behavior. The facts are that at any given time, you are having a wide range of thoughts on a number of topics. Your brain is broadband, although you might not be aware of most of the channels that are playing. What you do, however, is choose your actions based on your will, your mood, your preferences, and the type of person you are. The suffering over your thoughts actually lies in the way you evaluate them and react to them, not the content of the thoughts themselves. Trying hard to avoid the thoughts will prevent you from learning this. "I was diagnosed with OCD. Is this a part of that?" Yes, it very well might be a part of the issue. There is evidence that a significant number of people who suffer from unwanted intrusive thoughts are also affected by OCD. And there are some good reasons why this is true. People with OCD experience obsessions,